Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Time now for another new episode of the Sixth Man Podcast, talking all things Toronto Raptors, and a very, very special episode today, as we're going to be joined by a very special guest, David Thorpe, former lead NBA analyst at ESPN, a basketball coach, life coach, media talent, and his son played at FSU with Scotty Barnes last year. So we're going to be bringing him on and talking his ear off and getting a whole bunch of insight towards the Raptors and Scotty Barnes and Canadian basketball talent as a whole. But quick, let's do a recap of this past week, which was a real good one for the Raps. They went 3-1 since we last spoke. Kick things off with a loss against the Chicago Bulls and DeMar DeRozan's return. Boy, that Bulls team looks dangerous. Between DeRozan, you've got Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, obviously. You've got Vucevic. You've got Patrick Williams, of course. A really, really good-looking Bulls team. The Raptors got the loss there. But then won the next three straight. A win against Indiana, a win against the Magic, and another win against Indiana. Indiana's got some good pieces. Scotty balled out. And, of course, a lot of people were very, very interested in going to pick that middle game there in that three-game win streak against the Magic, because Scotty Barnes going up against Jalen Suggs, right? The guy that a lot of people in the media thought we should have drafted with the number four pick. He's playing okay. He's not really in the top as far as statistics are concerned with NBA rookies right now, but it's still very, very early. He got 21 points, but Scotty had a way better line across the board, 21 points. He had a bunch of boards, assists, blocks. He was Scotty Barnes. He does what Scotty Barnes does. Everybody happy with Scotty. And at one point during the game, fans were chanting, "Scotty's better. Scotty's better." Hey, you know what? Nobody commented on it afterwards. It was going around on social media. You probably saw it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. But, you know, the fans pay good money to go to the game. They're allowed to have an opinion. These guys are getting millions of dollars. So let's not cry for them on this one. If they're happy and passionate about their player, then let them be passionate and happy about their player. And honestly, Scotty is better at this point. We'll see. It's a long career ahead of them both. But it was quite the streak with the Raptors going, like I said, 3-1, now sitting at a 4-3 record above 500. Who would have thought they'd be here, even after seven games? Got a difficult opponent tonight going up against the 5-1 New York Knicks. So we'll hopefully get a win there. But the team looks good, man. And Pascal Siakam has been assigned to the Raptors 905. That's going to be a conditioning stint, obviously. And he should be returning along with Yuta Watanabe very, very soon. Maybe by the end of the week, in fact. We could be talking about how Pascal's playing next week in next week's episode. But I want to devote the majority of this episode to our special guest on the show today, and that is David Thorpe. I already teed him up on what he's all about and where he comes from. This was a huge, huge honor for me to get to interview him. And you can check out his website, coachdavidthorpe.com. He's also a big part of True Hoop. Let's bring on the coach. All right, Coach, thanks so much for joining the podcast. Super excited to have you on. And we're, of course, you're a basketball coach, a life coach. You know about basketball a lot. So I wanted to pick your brain on a few things. Number one is, what are your thoughts so far about the crop of NBA rookies early in the season? I know it's a drop in the bucket, but early on this season, your thoughts on sort of the top five rookies and anybody that surprised you so far?
You know, the only thing, I don't think I, as high as I was on Evan Mobley from Cleveland and Scotty Barnes from Toronto, they were my top two players in the draft, prospect-wise. I did not expect them to hit the ground running as well as they had. This is the best league in the world by far. It's full of grown men, incredible athletes, brilliant thinkers, tacticians, the whole thing, and rookies tend to really stink. They just tend to be really bad. And I was just looking up the other day, you know, Jalen Green, a very, very talented player in Houston, had an offensive rating that was 18 points worse than his defensive rating, which means when he's on the court, basically his team is getting crushed.
Yeah.
Mobley has been good. Barnes is plus 7. That's pretty rare. Chris Duarte, who wasn't a top 5 pick, is the highest guy, but he's also 24 years old.
Yeah.
Mobley and Barnes are 20. So nothing's really surprised me other than the success of those guys as quickly as it's happened. But I think both are MVP-level talents. at certainly all league level talents, it's hard to get to be an MVP. It's just so, they're so rare and so few. But those guys are really special. I think that the class is good. It's definitely too early to say, you know, Michael Carter Williams, Johnny Flynn. There's a whole bunch. There's a whole bunch of guys that looked like they were good for a couple years, even, and then just ended up not being so good. I'm not someone that tries to rush things.
Yeah.
These guys, because it's fluid. Here's the thing: it's fluid. You got to keep working. You got to keep training. You got to keep getting better. And so, just because they have success in a week or a month or a season, is no guarantee it'll continue without that work ethic, without that drive and ambition. And so it's silly to think that someone's arrived and will continue to arrive. Someone like Luka, excuse me, a little bit different because Luka's already done it at a professional level.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great player in Europe first. But John Morant seemed like he was a pretty sure thing. Zion's a pretty sure thing. There's just such physical freaks. Guys like Scotty and Mobley, they're so long and athletic, and they got great size for the positions they play. They seem to be sure things. The rest of them, not so sure about. You know, Jalen Green may not make it. He might be one of those guys that puts up a lot of empty points on bad teams for a long time, or he could turn into a Zach LaVine type, Jamal Crawford type that's a high-level scorer, or even a little bit better. Yeah. These are all options. Jalen Suggs, same thing. Suggs probably won't be a scorer, but Suggs has a chance to be a Jrue Holiday type player, or he might be an average guy in 3 years. We don't know.
Yeah. The optics of Cleveland was, well, they're where they're at. They're rebuilding, obviously. But when you saw the optics of, okay, they re-signed Jared Allen, they've got marketing on there, like, they have been seamlessly able to fit in these guys. You know, Mobley and Allen seem to be coexisting pretty well, and Mobley's certainly been one of the guys that have been like, wow, he's the real deal here. And he just, when it's funny to look at guys like that, and as a Raptors fan, it was the same when we got Chris Bosh, and I'm sure it was the same when Jonathan Bender came in the league, or Kevin Durant. They're so thin. They're so thin. And when they fill, you always say, when they fill out, watch out. But some guys just don't need to a certain degree, right? They just are sort of comfortable in their skin the way they are. The Raptors have got another one right now, Chris Boucher, who I'd say pretty thin dude, but, you know, plays his role well and can shoot and block shots and change things. So we'll see if Mobley fills out like he has. So with Scotty Barnes, you mentioned there, of course, this is a Raptors podcast. For the fans that don't already know, what makes this kid so special?
If you don't love him as a player, well, then you probably are watching the sport for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And so I love that about him. You know, I loved watching him play last year because, quite frankly, I thought he was way too unselfish. And I did worry, and I've written this, I did worry that in Toronto with Pascal there and OG and, of course, Fred at point guard, might he be unwilling to assert himself the way I thought he should because of his size and skill.
Yeah.
And he didn't at Florida State. In fact, I made a comment on someone else's pod the other day. If Scotty Barnes played at Florida State the way he's playing now, they would have won the national championship.
Yeah, yeah.
He just didn't engage the way he's engaging now. And I give credit to a lot of things. And part of it's because he didn't win the national championship. I mean, it motivated him some. He didn't really have a summer last summer because of COVID. Just like my son didn't, but he did. He's had that now with Toronto.
Yeah.
I think Nick Nurse and his staff have challenged him fairly and accurately and asked him to do a lot. They play him a lot. And I think he is recognizing, I always say there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. It's a line from the very first Matrix movie.
Yeah.
And, when Neo kind of figured out that he can pretty much stop the bullets with his hand.
Yeah.
Or save helicopters with ropes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Scotty knows what to do, but he's never done it. And he's slowly walking that path. The one thing I should stress is I've done media now since I joined ESPN in 2007, and I've probably not done a good enough job. I'm sure I've not done a good enough job explaining the fact that defense is 50% of the game.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to quantify, and it's really hard for fans to understand. Trust me, I spend my whole life studying this game, and I'm not a genius at it. I'm smarter than most, but I don't always have it figured out. It's hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts, including 10 people and 20 legs and 20 arms and hands. And it's still 50% of the game. Half your possessions are going to be on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
Outside of the court. And Scotty is really good at defense.
He's
good now. He's going to get better. And so a lot of what we're seeing in terms of impact relates to what he does defensively. They are very good when he's on the court defensively, not as good when he's off.
Yeah.
That is very, very rare for a rookie. And then he's got the mindset to make plays in the paint, which is not something we've ever really seen from him. And he is not bullying taller guys. He's bullying 6'8" and under. I mean, he had a tip dunk on Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
He had a little what I call a second box jumper over Tatum. He did in the preseason as well. He's using his size and what how I thought he should do in college when he can, because of all these switches. He guards all five positions and can play all five positions on offense. That's a unicorn. Like, we just don't have that in the league.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green might be one of those guys. Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So Scott, and Scottie's more athletic and a better scorer.
Yeah.
So he's got crazy upside. I think he's very lucky to be in Toronto, where I believe they have one of the best coaches in the league, in the world. And of course, my longtime friend Masai Ujiri is great at what he does. And I think they're going to develop him at the right pace. And you got yourselves probably a guy that, you know, is going to compete for MVPs for years. You know, not MVPs initially, but
yeah,
he'll compete for All-Star games, and then he'll compete for All-League. And then I think he's got a chance. If he just gets to score a little bit better and can lead his team, he is going to be, like, Jokic last year was by far the best player metrically, by far. Like,
right.
No one came close to Nikola Jokic last year with the advanced metrics that we use. Scottie's got a chance to have one of those kind of seasons, if not more.
That's awesome. Yeah, the Joker is no joke. And, you know, I read somewhere that Scottie said that he watched a lot of Magic Johnson highlights, you know, and then watching his play. Can you, with your expertise, can you look at a guy? I'm sure you can, but can you look at a guy and sort of pick, like, I bet you he watches a lot of this player, or do you know what I mean? Because, like, Scottie's been making a lot of bringing the ball up, no-look passes. He's got great court vision. And so I know Magic Johnson is quite the high bar, but I see some flashes of, like, you know, I read that he watched Magic Johnson highlights, and you kind of see it in his game. Can you look at a young player and go, oh, yeah, he probably studies this player a lot?
You know, I'm so old that I can't do that, because I'll see 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different guys.
That's fair. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't see players in them.
Yeah.
And I tweeted this out, maybe 10 days ago, that I never saw Magic Johnson in him when he was in college. Never.
Right.
I have in the NBA. I've seen, and Magic was my favorite player growing up. I was 14 when he played Larry Bird in 1979. So I've been a Magic fan. I rooted for Bird in that game, and Magic fan ever since. He went to the Lakers, which was my favorite team.
Yeah.
And I do see Magic, and I see Scottie Pippen. Boris Diaw, people are talking about, he's better than Boris.
Yeah.
Although Boris was a very good player for a long time, especially when he was younger. I think he's got a lot going on with the best players that have ever played this game. He just needs to continue to develop. I don't know that he has to be a three-point shooter to be great, but it would help.
Yeah.
Like, it's something he should work at. He should be working on his perimeter shot. Nick is letting him shoot at some, which I think is very wise. Let him develop that.
Yep.
And I think that he's going to be his own player, but certainly Magic, Pippen, you know, guys that are playmakers at that size that can hurt you scoring, passing, rebounding, and defensively, they're just so rare.
Yeah,
so he's one of those guys, I think, that can do that.
He made a pass in the it was a high lob pass down to the post, which he leaped up for, barely touched it, almost like a volleyball pass straight to the corner to OG Anunoby for a wide open three in their last game there. And I was just like, wow, how did he know to do that? Like, it was just incredible to watch. Now, I'm glad you brought up shooting. One of the knocks on Scottie, and I had some Raptors fans that I would talk to, and they say they didn't like two things. They said, well, they say he's not a very good shooter, and I don't like the fact that he came off the bench. That wasn't a big deal for that coach. I read that particular coach at FSU, he doesn't really like starting freshmen. Can you confirm that? Is that like a thing?
Well, first of all, the year before Scottie got there, they had a player named Pat Williams.
That's right.
He just found out today is out for the season.
Yeah.
He came off the bench. He was the ACC Sixth Man of the Year and went number four to Chicago. The year before that, they had a guy named Kabungale who came off the bench after being Sixth Man of the Year, and he was drafted first round. So, yes, it is kind of a thing. But the reason why I came off the bench, and no one is writing about this because no one paid attention, but I do because my son was on the team.
Yeah.
And it still is. In fact, he had a first exhibition last night, and my son played.
Nice.
Scottie was starting, and no one was complaining about him starting. I don't think the team ever expected not to start him. But then he got hurt. He twisted his ankle a little bit, I believe it was what it was. Missed some practices. Had to miss. I don't think he missed a game, but he missed some practices. and they don't start you if you miss a practice day before a game. He came off the bench, and just because of who he is, he told the coaches, guys, I'm happy to come off the bench behind one of the seniors we got. I'm fine with that. I don't care. I think it was his way of saying, like, this is us. This is we. He is very much a we player, and what I've written and talked about is he has to learn more how to be a me player. To be a superstar, you have to have some me in you. It's okay. As long as you understand the context is helping us win, then be a me player. But he was just showing the team, I'm a we guy, and that's why he's so beloved. This is who he is. Mm-hmm. He's one of those really special guys. Joakim Noah had that special day in Chicago last night.
Yes.
And I trained Joakim. I went to Florida where he went years after I was there. And the same stories that they talk about with him, where he didn't like any honors. Like, he didn't want to do a video shoot or a TV show or an interview without his whole team there. Like, he was just a wee guy.
Yeah.
And that's why he's going to be forever a Chicago Bull, and they love him forever. And he was fourth in MVP voting and a fan favorite forever.
Yeah.
And Scottie's going to be the same. At the very least, Scottie's going to be had that kind of career because he gets it. So it's not liking him because he came off the bench. It just the understanding context, you realize it didn't mean anything. He was third or fourth probably in minutes played and probably should have played more, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, Florida State tries to play 10, 11 guys every game, and they try to wear you down. They made three straight Sweet 16, so they've done pretty darn well in the ACC.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned something there. Being a big basketball fan, one of the most consistent things that I hear, when the draft is concerned, and then you hear it, and then later on, you see the complete difference. I want to talk specifically about when somebody's coming into the league, like Scottie, and as I mentioned before, their knock was his shooting needs some work. His mechanics may need some work. Is that, if you're willing to put in the time and effort, and I have to refer back to another Raptor, Pascal Siakam, who the same year he wins Most Improved Player, he said he worked on his three-pointer like all summer long, and all of a sudden he could shoot three-pointers, which is not something we were used to seeing him do. I've talked about on this show before reading an article way back in the day. I think Jason Kidd, when he came out of California, they said he couldn't shoot. In fact, his teammates on Dallas called him Asin Kidd for the first year because he had no J. These guys developed and became pretty good shooters down the line. Is shooting just work ethic and putting in the time? Is that the easiest skill? Like, if you heard a guy couldn't shoot, is that the biggest, we're not worried about that because that's something your whole life and commitment now is basketball. Is it just time and effort that's going to correct that and make you a good shooter?
It's way more complicated than that, but ultimately, there is some of that is true, for sure.
Okay.
Shooting is a talent, like anything else. I could teach you the perfect bowling mechanics possible, but do you really think you'll bowl a perfect game just because you did it for a year, a week, or a month? No.
Yeah, well put.
Same as golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wish, right. So, I think shooting is a talent.
Yeah.
I teach shooting for a living. It paid a lot of money to do it, and I can't tell you that every single player has improved exactly the same.
Okay.
Even with great work ethic.
Really?
There's a talent degree. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's just... the comparison is going to make what I find fascinating as a fan is... I'm not going to sit here and pick on Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons, historically, there's some talk there about commitment and why he's not a very good shooter. But then I'm also fascinated by guys like Lonzo Ball, who apparently have recreated their shot over the course of a summer. And when I watched the Raptors play the Bulls the other night, Lonzo was deadly. Like he was
a good shooter.
It was incredible. So he was able to redo the mechanics of his shot once he got into the NBA. And it wasn't overnight, but that's the optics are, is it just work ethic? But obviously you're the expert, so you tell me.
you gotta work your ass off for sure.
Yeah.
You gotta put a lot of time in. You have to need some good teachers probably, mostly.
Yeah.
In Lonzo's case, he did totally change the way he shoots the ball, at least to some degree. He was a good shooter in college, actually. It just was way left of his left eye, which is weird for a right-handed shooter. in Scottie's case, Scottie's got the worst kind of shot. He and Giannis are similar. They're so long. Long arm, big hands, long fingers. There's a lot to coordinate. There really is. There's not a lot of 6'8 golfers in the world because of the same problem. There's just so many things can go wrong mechanically. But I think that he's got the makings of a good shot. I don't know that he'll ever be a 40% plus shooter, even for one season, much less many.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's more likely he'll be mid-30s at best. But with that guy... I actually am way more interested in Scottie improving his ball handling. I don't know Scottie personally. I couldn't meet any of the players last year because of COVID.
Right.
If I did, I would tell him every single day, work on your handle more.
Right.
Because if he can become one of these, Zach Lowe, my friend at ESPN, calls them apex predators. if he become one of these 6'7", 6'8" wings that can beat you off the dribble and go get buckets, his status elevates hugely, whether he makes threes or not. Giannis doesn't make many threes, and he's two-time MVP and now world champ. So yeah. That, to me, is what he should be focused on most. Next year, becoming a playmaker off his dribble, not just his size and talent. And shooting is part of that, but it shouldn't be the main thing. And there's no doubt again, look what Giannis does. For my company, True Hoop, I wrote an article last season after Giannis won, and I mentioned Scottie, this is before the draft, obviously, people should follow what Giannis did for Milwaukee the last two series they played, where he just devastated everyone inside. And he couldn't make threes, who cared? He destroyed teams inside, and the team shot around him. And it's absolutely something that Ben Simmons and Scottie can do. Scottie is doing it some. He's not afraid to get fouled like Simmons is. And he's got that disposition to dominate the paint and bullying smaller guys. And that's huge for them going forward.
That's right, yeah. Would you grimace or be impressed that when I was a kid and I was pulled out, I was like 6'4 when I was like 11 or 12 years old. So the coach of the basketball team in school, he literally recruited me out of history class and said, no, come and play. We need you. For whatever reason, I always thought the player that had the most perfectly formed shot, again, I don't know if you're going to grimace or like this, was I tried to mimic Eddie Jones. Eddie Jones to me always had the most perfect form and follow through when he shot. Would you call him a good form shooter?
You know, I know Eddie very well. He's from my state in Florida.
Oh, no way.
I played in high school. Yeah. I watched him play in high school and thought he was a terrific player. And right away called a couple of friends of mine in college saying, you should be recruiting this kid. And turned out he was obviously a hell of a player. I had a good eye for talent even back then. I don't remember Eddie having... I mean, I do this for a living, so I've seen, probably could argue, more guys that shoot that look better.
Yeah.
But Eddie's shot was good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was mechanically fine. There was nothing wrong with it. He also was very long. I'm not sure his hands were huge. It's a big problem with like some of these guys. It's not just a long arm. It's their huge hands. It doesn't mean you can't fix it. Kobe had huge hands. Of course, he wasn't a great shooter. Mm-hmm. But Jordan was a huge hands, too, and he was a very good three-point shooter when the three-point line was shortened.
Right.
Not as good when it was at the distance it is now. We used to tell my players, when you go up against Eddie Jones, he was still in the league when I was training NBA players originally, and he was one of those guys that I told them, you have to be super careful with the ball when he's guarding you, because he was one of the best guys in the league at stripping you off the dribble. So,
yeah. Yeah,
he was just super long. I was a huge fan. He went to Temple. I was a really big fan.
That's awesome. Okay, man, I could do this all day. I have one more question for you, and it was sort of, I've been trying to figure out the perfect way to ask you this question, but I just wanted to get you to sort of chime in. I was having a debate with a friend of mine. This was actually around the Olympic qualifying. Of course, Nick Nurse is the coach of the Olympic team, and we were actually watching a game together, and he said, man, you know, it sort of helped you take a pause and go, well, we have a lot of talent in Canada right now, and there were a bunch of guys that weren't playing on the team. We had RJ Barrett and Andrew Wiggins, but we were missing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray with his knee problems. Chris Boucher was out, and we were just sitting there going, man, there's a lot of good players. My buddy Kyle said, it's the Vince Carter effect, man. All these guys, these 20-year-olds, early 20s, I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary, The Carter Effect. It's pretty great. But Vince was a mega, mega celebrity, one of the biggest superstars in the world when he played for the Raptors back in the day. And a lot of guys picked up a ball, men and women, picked up a ball and started playing. Toronto's a unique situation because basketball is already huge in the United States. But here, and as a fan, it's been fascinating to watch, you know, the evolution of it. Like, we had Jamal McGlure back in the day. You know, we didn't have a lot of players. Now there's like more Canadians in the league than ever. And my friend was saying the celebrity of Vince Carter is obviously what started it all. And then I chimed in and said, well, it'll be interesting to see in another 15 years or so after the championship we just won, will that give it a shot in the arm to get even more numbers? And he was like, no. Vince is going to be the biggest influence because every kid now, even if they don't remember Vince, they're going to want to be the next Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I think is incredible and underrated already. They're going to want to be the next Jamal Murray. They're going to want to be. What is your take really in general of the Canadian talent right now? Because we got another one too, a kid from my hometown in London, Ontario, I believe committed to Kentucky, Shaedon Sharpe. He's sort of a next guy that people are looking at. What is your take on Canadian talent? And do you subscribe to the Vince started it all, or will the championship make the Canadian talent grow even further, if you had to guess?
I mean, you're both right. It is, it's a more complicated issue. Yeah. It's funny. You love these Florida players. I saw Vince Carter when he was 15 years old. He's also a Floridian.
Yeah, that's right.
I knew that, yeah. He beat a lot of my friends' teams in high school. He was a great, great player.
I
love Vince. I coached him for a week at the basketball camp once, and when he was 17, he's a super talented guy. Great, and I love him as a person, too. I think if you looked at maybe from this standpoint, if you rated back then Toronto basketball, let's say at 55%, just make up a number, let's call it 55.
Right.
Well, then maybe Vince got it to 85.
Yeah.
Well, but now you're in the 90s. And so in that championship, while it might be, would have been just as impactful had it happened when you were in the 50s, you can't continue to improve that way because you can't get past 100%.
Right.
So it's going to have less of an effect just because it can't help but have a less of an effect. A whole lot of talented players were already playing. But I think the other probability anyway, not coming from Toronto, is the organizing principles in youth basketball also may have recognized an opportunity, whether it's sneaker companies funding cash to people who going out and doing leagues and AAU teams, to just regular moms and dads who thought, you know what? You know, these guys in the neighborhood look like they'd be pretty good players. Let me put together a team. Let me get involved. Let me do some more leagues. All of those things may have been started by Vince, but nevertheless, if you just had Vince without those organizing principles, you probably fall short. So all of things combined, everyone knows about Toronto now. Everyone knows. In fact, I'm helping out a school here that's both a high school and like a post-grad that we're going to really target Toronto players starting next year. They give them housing and everything. It's going to be one of the plays we really want to target. They're already doing it for football.
Okay.
So, you have a lot of athletes there, and you need to have adults organizing things to best give young people a chance to become the best players they can be. So I think all those things combined really help. And I do a chat there's a new app called Fireside that Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is the founder of, a co-founder. And I do a chat every Tuesday live at noon. You can download it on Apple Fireside Chat app. And we talk about Raising Winners. That's the name of the show with David Thorpe. And we talk about this exact thing. Like, what can adults do to use sports to help reach young people on more important life lessons? We're not trying to raise the next Vince Carter. We're just trying to use sports to help us raise our children. My kids are 29, I have twins, into just being happier, more proficient, efficient human beings who are caring and decent people. And I think sports, some of my daughter's kids who was dance, can really help us do that. But it helps for them to be inspired.
Yeah.
People always ask me, when should I have my kids start playing sports? Well, you can choose the time and you can choose the sport, but it's way better when the child comes to you and says, hey, I want to play baseball, basketball, football, softball, hockey, whatever.
Yeah.
That would be great. And I'm sure that happened a lot when Vince was doing what he was doing. He was on the news every day, I'm sure. He's a very exciting, charismatic guy.
That dunk contest was
the beginning. Kid wants to do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, incredible. That's an awesome perspective. I asked for 10 minutes. I got almost 30, and I can't complain about that. I could do this all day. Coach, thank you so very much for doing this. Sincerely appreciate it. And is it okay if I hold on to your number to maybe do this again sometime?
Absolutely, no problem.
I love that. Thanks so much. David Thorpe, thank you very much once again. And have a great weekend, okay?
You too, thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at the Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of the Sixth Man Podcast.